how do you do? What enables some people to endure hardship and danger, exposing them to serious diseases, all the while facing rejection? The man in this story will tell you why. He traveled halfway around the world to do exactly that, all because his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Before I left for the Far East, they told us we were giving up our right to normal food. And it's true. We ate the same roots dug from the ground as the tribal people we met. I ate whatever was served. Rat, snakes, monkey meat, and I've gone hungry too. Once, for several days in a row, all I had was a cup of coffee once a day. We also gave up the right to normal rest. We've slept on straw mats, on the ground, in a closet during a typhoon. We didn't sleep at all when we came down with the native diseases like leg infections, hepatitis. We gave up the right to normal romance because our purpose is to serve the Lord wherever and however He chooses. We've given up the right to normal compensation, but it's all worth it to share the good news with people living in darkness.
Presenting the way, the truth, and the life, this is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Being homeless is a way of life for some people who've been on the streets for years. But Pacific Garden Mission welcomes each visitor with love. Hundreds of men, women, and children receive showers and fresh clothing, a hearty meal, and a safe bunk for the night. Even medical and dental care if needed, all without charge, thanks to the financial gifts of friends. Pastors and counselors share the bread of life and pray for each one, like he who guards the old lighthouse. They are not willing that any should perish. And that same message of redemption goes out to the world in 10 languages, that whosoever will may have new life. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3050 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
It's from the mission board.
They got the pictures of the babies?
Yes. I don't believe it.
What?
Read it. They've disqualified us for missionary service.
How can that be? We've met all their conditions.
Tom, they say we're not welcome to return to the Philippines.
From the age of 16, the man in our story dedicated his life to sharing the truth that set him free. In this conclusion of his testimony, we'll hear how that dream was fulfilled. It's the true story of Tom Grauman right now on Unshackled.
I arrived in the Philippines in 1957 by way of Bombay and Singapore, where I studied Tagalog for 5 months. I was still single, and my nursing specialty was tropical diseases, treating Filipinos and missionaries alike. I dealt with all kinds of ailments, from typhoid fever to malnutrition and worms. I often traveled with other missionaries to remote villages. Seems to me these people gave you a cold reception.
Well, the tribal people of Mindoro are not demonstrative.
Some Scots are not either.
I heard that's where you grew up.
I was one of the kinder transport children.
Oh, what's that?
Children who were brought out of Czechoslovakia on a special train just before the war started.
Oh, yeah. Oh, was it hard to leave your family behind?
Most of us didn't realize we'd never see them again. My mother, stepdad, and brother all perished in a concentration camp.
Oh, what a tragedy. You're a Messianic Jew, then?
Yes. I owe the Lord my life. That's why I'm here.
Yeah. Are you married, Tom?
No.
Better find yourself a wife.
Why?
Some of the tribal people are timid. They accept a female more easily than a male.
I'll be sure and make that part of my proposal.
There are plenty of female missionaries here that are single.
I noticed.
Any problems?
I struggle with the language. It takes me hours to prepare a sermon or lesson.
Me too.
But it's worth it. to see the light of understanding come on in someone.
The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord.
When I completed the second course of the language training, my test was to share the gospel with a small group of Filipino children. From then on, we taught on a regular basis. But there were many dialects and customs that were foreign to us. One of them was chewing betel nut, an addictive combination of tobacco, nut, and lime juice that deadened the pain of bad teeth. A native believer asked for a missionary to come and teach in his area, so the mission assigned me.
Praise God you come, Thomas. We save whole village.
I'm glad you want to save the whole village, Billy.
Lord is mighty savior.
Oh, yes. I notice that you don't chew betel nuts. Did he deliver you from that?
Amen. When we build chapel, I don't chew betel nut whole day. That's when I know I can quit.
I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Amen. You go with me to more village?
Every other week we'll go to a different village.
Praise God. Lord, reap harvest.
When you talk with people about Jesus, what do you say or ask?
I say, are you afraid to die?
Good.
Then I tell about Christ, how he died for us so we can go to heaven. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Very good, Pele. Maybe you can go with me to Comuna. Every time I visit that village, all the people are gone.
Gone where?
I don't know, but the village is empty. They ask for a Bible teacher, so I don't understand.
They are feared.
Oh, tell them to fear not. The Lord wants to teach them his truth. Pele and I visited many of the villages and had Bible study, prayer, and singing. On one of my trips to mission headquarters, I met Caroline, a missionary who arrived after I did. We became friends, and I proposed to her, but she declined, suggesting someone else for me. She was serving in another village, so I made excuses to visit and see her.
Hello, Tom. Are you still based in Calapan?
Oh, yes. But I get to many other villages and have Bible study, when I can find them.
You mean they hide from you?
The whole village of Cumanal hides in the hills, afraid of me, I suppose.
It's the needle you jab them with. You survived the typhoon, I see.
Oh, a huge banana plant fell on the house, but I rescued most of the medical equipment.
Good. How's the rest of your ministry?
Going fine. Have you thought any more about my proposal, Caroline?
Tom, I'm just not prepared to marry at this time in my life.
On one visit to Camarong, just before harvest, there was no food. That's when I drank only coffee once a day. I became ill with a high fever, and another missionary helped me to go by boat, bus, and tricycle to another town where I tested positive for malaria. They flew me to Manila, and I checked into a hospital. Turned out it was hepatitis. Shortly after that, I returned to England by ship. I spent some time in the hospital before going to Scotland to see my foster family.
Your first furlough, eh? Welcome back, Tom.
Oh, it's good to be home, Uncle Jimmy.
I hear you've been sick.
First thing I did when I got to London was check into the mission hospital. They found lots of things wrong besides hepatitis, but I'm getting stronger.
Ah, splendid. Tell me all about your ministry there.
It's wonderful, sharing God's love and truth.
Oh, they speak English?
Most in our area speak Tagalog, a phonetic language.
Ah.
One symbol is always pronounced the same way. So in the village of Camarong, I taught a man their alphabet. And when I returned, he'd written letters of the alphabet on every tree using charcoal.
Oh, enterprising student.
Oh, yes. I spent a week teaching him to read. And when I returned a week later, he was going from house to house reading scripture to every family.
A budding evangelist,
oh,
eh?
That's the goal, Uncle Jimmy, to help them help themselves.
Ah, I found a wife yet.
Oh, I'm working on it. Her name's Caroline, but she's in no hurry to get married.
No, I can't say that I blame her having to live with you. Seriously, Tom, send her a gift, something to persuade her.
I sent a Celtic cross to Caroline, and she prayed about us, finally writing to accept my proposal. Then she came to London, We drove through Scotland, speaking at churches. We traveled by ship to the United States, where we crossed the country by train, stopping to visit relatives along the way. After meeting her family, I flew back to Manila, and we planned our wedding by mail. When Caroline returned to the Philippines, we married, first in a tribal ceremony, then a reception in the mission home. We honeymooned in Baguio, then returned to ministry.
This is so much nicer than the place we have in Mindoro.
You have bad memories of that house because you were so sick there.
Who knew the disinfectant would give me hepatitis?
Maybe it's better to just live with the insects.
No way! They shouldn't keep chickens in their kitchen.
At least we're 5 feet off the ground here. That helps.
Are you ready for the daily battle against scabies?
Oh, if we only could get them to wash more often.
Not part of the culture, Tom. But it's a good example of how Jesus washes away sin.
That's why I tell them to wash in the river before they get the ointment for their sores. Let me give you some penicillin for that bronchitis. The penicillin remained in little lumps under Caroline's skin. Though doctors removed some in minor operations in Manila, we traveled from village to village, treating various diseases from tuberculosis to skin infections. We also helped to set people up in business. As our second furlough approached, we trained villagers in simple paramedics. We also trained girls to be Sunday school teachers. Everywhere we went, we heard the same questions.
Do you have children?
No.
Why you no have children?
God hasn't given us any yet.
Are you taking medicine to no have children?
No, I want very much to have babies.
Don't you know how to love?
Every test indicated we couldn't have children. Finally, we decided to adopt a baby on our furlough home. We traveled through Israel and then flew to England, where the rest of Caroline's lumps were removed in a Glasgow hospital. Then we bought a used car and traveled all over Scotland, speaking at missionary meetings. We joined Uncle Jimmy at his camp.
So you already have a Bible school building. Wonderful.
Intertribal. So all the tribes worked together to build it.
Ah, even better.
The school had just started when one of the students died overnight. I wondered if that would be the end of our school.
But it wasn't.
No, actually, it strengthened. We had a conference, and at the end of it, they gave testimonies. One Filipino after another testified how the missionaries told them to believe. But they didn't understand until they learned to read. As they read scripture for themselves, the Holy Spirit enlightened them and they were born again.
Ah, splendid.
The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple.
Remember Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6? I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth.
Ah, yes, it's happening, Uncle Jimmy.
Aye. So you're going to the U.S. now?
Yes, California. We want to adopt a baby. In San Francisco, we filled out all the paperwork, and 10 weeks later, we picked up two lovely babies, a boy and a girl. We decided to adopt two, and the ministry had approved only one. That's when they dismissed us from their service.
Shortly, we'll hear how this affected Tom and his wife. Unshackled is translated and redramatized in Arabic and then broadcast throughout Middle Eastern countries, prompting many letters from listeners there, like this person in Egypt. I searched for God in Islam and did not find him there. Unshackled helped me. I found God in the teachings of Jesus Christ, my Savior. From Saudi Arabia, this person writes, Unshackled preaches about the cross of Jesus. I feel that God is opening my eyes. He was able to save Jesus, yet God chose to sacrifice him to save us. I am being drawn to Jesus Christ. May God continue to open the eyes of others. Also from Saudi Arabia, this man writes, At the hospital in England, I heard about Jesus and Unshackled. I like Unshackled very much and listen to it faithfully. To have Unshackled broadcast in your area in Arabic write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
Being dismissed from the mission was a bitter pill to swallow. With my British passport, I couldn't work in the U.S., and the future was bleak. So Caroline applied for a job with a private hospital.
Hi, honey. Are the babies okay?
Yes. Napping right now.
I got the job.
Oh, that's great.
You won't believe what the doctor discovered in the pre-employment exam.
What?
I'm pregnant, Tom.
What? They told us we couldn't have children.
They were wrong.
Having taught Bible in the Philippines, I knew I needed more Bible study, so we moved to Denver, where I went to seminary for a year and a half. Our son Dan was born there. Then I applied and was accepted in a U.S. mission, and we moved to Santa Cruz, California. By then, Caroline was pregnant a second time with our son Paul. I worked part-time as an orderly at the Santa Cruz Hospital, but my missionary duties took me to Oregon, Washington, and Northern California. I came home from one trip so ill, I checked into the hospital.
How long will you be here, Tom?
At least a week for tests.
They don't know what's wrong?
Not yet. My throat was so sore in Portland. I had to stand close to the mic to be heard.
Oh, I'm glad you came right home.
The pain in the back of my head was so bad, I could hardly turn my head.
And you drove the car?
No choice. By the time I got here, I couldn't walk without help.
Thank God the doctor suggested we go on welfare, Tom.
My coordination is so bad, it's scary, honey. What's wrong with me?
I don't know, but they'll find out. We can trust the Lord.
Mr. Grauman.
Yes, doctor.
You have cerebellar ataxia. Lack of coordination is one of the hallmarks.
What caused it?
Disease or damage to the spinal cord. Sometimes it follows a viral infection.
Is there a cure?
Your case seems to be very acute, so improvement will be slow, if at all. Physical therapy will help some, but I think the condition is permanent.
My pastor came and prayed with me. God can heal me.
I can register you as permanently disabled. That way you can stay on welfare.
I don't want a terminal diagnosis, but I do want to go home. At the end of the year, we went off welfare, but it took 3 more years to fully recover. My movements were so jerky, I couldn't pick up the children or hold a tray at the cafeteria, and I couldn't walk a straight line. Caroline became the breadwinner. Working part-time at a hospital and taking care of the family, she developed back pain, but was refused unemployment. Gradually, I improved and took classes at the local junior college to get my RN, because my previous training wasn't transferable. There were no openings at the hospital, so I worked as a night supervisor at a nursing home.
Oh, you look beat, honey.
I am. Some other facility flooded and we got half their patients.
Well, that's a big influx.
Patients in beds up and down the corridors when I got there. In the middle of the night, we discovered that most of their medical records and medicines were still at the other facility.
Oh, no.
5 patients died.
Oh, Tom.
All the time I trained in Scotland, I only remember one death. There are so many in nursing homes.
It's part of life, honey. At least you can share Jesus with them.
While working, I graduated with a bachelor's degree from a local Bible college in 1974. Then we moved to Littleton, Colorado, where we were active in the church there, making a mission trip to Mexico. For several years, I worked at a rehabilitation center for spinal cord injuries. We also sponsored students and refugees, and then became foster parents. Our children grew up and graduated from high school. One day, while I was using gasoline to clean black tar off the basement floor with our son Paul, the fumes caught fire. We both had burns, but mine were worse. I was disabled while we lived in an apartment, waiting for our home to be repaired. In 1991, After our four children were grown, we flew back to the Philippines. So much had changed in 25 years. Everywhere we saw armed guards. At our former mission headquarters, they said it was unsafe to go to Mindoro because of communist insurgents, but they approved a visit. In Bayanan, we met my old buddy, Pale.
Welcome, Tom. It's good to see you.
It's been a long time, Pale. So many changes.
This week we have Bible conference in Baras. Many tribes. You come?
We'd love to. They told us in Bayanan that you don't need missionaries anymore.
They did?
Yes. They said you still need missionaries to give advice and prepare literature.
We have many believers now. Lord is reaping big harvests.
I'm thrilled, Pale. They warned us about communists here.
We convert them too.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Shortly after we returned to our home, I received two letters from my aunt in Prague.
What's it all about, Tom?
When communism fell, grandmother's old home in Brno was returned to the family.
Wonderful.
They want to sell it if I agree.
What do you think?
First, I'd love to go there and see it again. Let's find a cheap flight to Frankfurt. At Frankfurt, we took a train to Prague, Czechoslovakia, where my cousin met us. They took us to grandmother's old house and the mansion where I had lived with my mother, stepfather, and brother.
Well, this is in better shape than your grandmother's house.
Yes. Hers is beyond repair. Plumbing and electrical wires gone.
Oh, I like to renovate houses, but this is too much.
Oh, it's very sad. Waist-high weeds. I remember gardens and milk cows in the back. Oh. 80 of them. Now there's nothing.
People live in cities now.
If we weren't committed to the Philippines, we could come here as missionaries, Caroline.
Anything's possible now that communism is gone.
We saw Budapest and Vienna during our stay in Europe and learned about a cousin of mother's who lived in Denver. We met her after we went home. Later that year and the next, we went back to the Philippines to teach and serve in Bible school. 1993 was a turning point in our lives.
I'm glad you're retiring this month.
Now I can concentrate on the Lord's work.
I'm excited about going back to the Philippines and seeing Thailand.
Yes.
And then I have to finish renovating the house we bought.
It really happened.
What?
Czechoslovakia no longer exists. Now it's Slovakia and the Czech Republic.
The world keeps changing.
But not the Lord. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
You should visit again. Maybe minister there.
God called us to the Philippines, Caroline. But that was not to be. In the Philippines, I was riding a ferry when I began to shiver and my legs started to swell. A stevedore helped me to get on the boat to Calapan, where I lay on the deck, going in and out of consciousness. Friends got me to the mission guest house. When Caroline arrived, she took me to the hospital, then left to get supplies.
I brought you a mosquito net.
Oh, you were fast.
I took a tricycle taxi.
I kept seeing weird pictures, like a revolving roll, drifting in and out of consciousness.
Oh.
I asked the Lord to take them away, and he did.
Oh, it's the fever, honey.
The antibiotics aren't doing much.
Give it time. Wait, where's my purse? Oh, I must have dropped it in the tricycle. Our passports and traveler's checks. I've got to find it.
She never found the purse, but we did get our passports back. I recovered, and we stayed another month. Then I came down with dengue fever, and we canceled the trip to Thailand and went home so I could fully recover. It seemed the Lord had closed the door to serving in the Philippines, but he opened one in the Czech Republic. I went there as a teacher in 1993, first going to language school in Slovakia. Between Christmas and New Year's, I visited Uncle Jimmy in Scotland. Oh, what? No carp?
Carp?
A traditional Czech Christmas dinner is fried carp and potato salad.
Oh.
Every town square has big tanks full of live carp.
So, you're like your homeland, then, huh?
Oh, we're getting acquainted.
Are you learning the language?
Yes. And now I understand why it seems Czech people have such an aversion to learning languages. Under the Nazis, they had to learn German. Under the communists, they had to learn Russian. They've struggled just to keep their own language.
What about the churches?
A few brave Czechs had secret Bible studies under communism. They met in the forest.
But now they meet openly?
Yes. They told me at one assembly they don't like American evangelism.
Oh, did you tell them you're not American? You're Czech, lad.
Yes. Maybe I can get dual citizenship. I taught English at various schools for the next 3 years while Caroline learned Czech and started a children's club. In 1999, I applied for dual citizenship and they began a search for my birth certificate. In January 2001, I learned I had never lost my Czech citizenship because I was born there. I could teach without getting a visa. Recently, several films were produced about the Kindertransport. And I met the man responsible for rescuing nearly 1,000 children. Because my name was listed at the end of the film, others noticed.
So they found your mother's will.
Yes. She asked that I be trained as a preacher or missionary. Isn't that something?
It was just God's plan for you.
Yes. And he brought it about.
He brought you back home, too.
Why, yes. I left this country with a number around my neck. You can't imagine how that felt. But the Scots took me in, and Jesus gave me new life. I'm going to a city whose builder and maker is God, and that's the greatest feeling of all.
Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Listening friend, you can go to that city whose builder and maker is God by praying with us now. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and lives forever, able to save me now. Thank you for your sacrifice, Lord. I repent of my sins against you. Please save me and help me live for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let us know you prayed, and we'll send you some literature to help you walk in new life. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3050. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.